What is up, everybody? It's the Altered State Podcast. It's Brandon. It's John. It's episode 79.
79. Adam Cracknell? I think.
Okay. Yeah, that one, I'm taking your word on it. I know the name. Don't know the jersey.
I remember...
I was just thinking, if people turn into this for the very first time, only listen like the first 3 minutes of every podcast, like, is this a hockey podcast?
Right.
Is this a jersey podcast? What is this?
Well, I remember in the mid-aughts when the Blues had that really killer fourth line. It was CPR line. It was Cracknell, Porter, and Reeves. And I think Adam Cracknell wore 79.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Now I want to double check.
You know what we need? We need a fact checker.
Right?
We need a fact checker.
We need someone to look up Adam Cracknell for me.
We need someone on the Google machine.
Or
we just do research before we start the show.
Right. You know that.
No, we need someone.
Could be a thing. Picture Adam Cracknell. 79.
Look it out.
What's up?
Nice pull. I'm impressed with that one.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, I feel good about it.
You should.
Remember that fourth line just being the shit. Like, that was a fun team to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go, I just saw last night Larry King in the hospital. Did you see that?
Yeah, Libby.
Sad news.
With COVID.
He's got COVID. And he's, what, 200? So that can't be great. And
somewhere in that ballpark.
But, you know, he's had, what, 19 wives? So he can beat this.
Yeah.
He's okay. He's got this on lockdown.
Right.
But we haven't done a podcast since Christmas.
Yeah. Wow.
Christmas good?
The last 2 weeks have been just quick. A blur,
yeah.
Man.
Yep. Yeah, even when I think I'm not going to be doing much, somehow I was busy.
Yeah.
I wasn't busy, like, out and about partying,
because restaurants and stuff aren't doing anything. But I was just busy.
Yeah.
Just running.
Yep.
But it was good, man. It was sat around with the girls and Libby and...
Did you watch Wonder Woman?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to get into it?
Do you?
Not too much.
Ah.
I wasn't that impressed. I was kind of disappointed. I didn't hate it.
Right. I was thoroughly entertained.
Sure.
But it was definitely not the first one.
It was definitely not the first one. Yeah.
I
enjoyed the funnier parts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the wardrobe stuff and trying, you know, and the 80s goofy stuff. You know, fun. Some of the CGI I thought was better than the first.
Yeah.
But it didn't hit. It didn't hit right.
I would agree with that. I think like Kristen Wiig and Chris Pine were both wonderful.
Agreed.
I wanted more of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pedro Pascal was fine and Gal Gadot is fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like I wanted it to be one of two different things. Like, I either wanted them to completely cut the Pedro Pascal character,
yeah,
and just make it Cheetah. Wonder Woman and Cheetah,
right?
And it could have been a half hour shorter,
yeah,
and better and more interesting.
Would have been more story. You would have got a little bit more Cheetah stuff, like, yeah, understood her a little better.
And I think we needed to,
right? As opposed to, hey, I'm just the nerdy girl no one likes. Boom, I'm popular girl everybody loves. It was right. Just that's all her backstory was, right? There.
Right. Yeah. And it felt like there was some. They could have drawn some really cool parallels between her and Diana.
Sure.
If they had more room to explore that character.
Yeah.
And like the Pedro Pascal character, just the Max Lord, just didn't really do anything, for me. Like, he used the stone and had the stone, but like he didn't need to be there for the stone.
Exactly.
In the
his powers and the power of the stone and everything are very up in the air or interchanging. Like, okay, now he is the stone.
Yeah, the rules always changing.
And, you know, okay, everybody, not everybody said, I take back my wish.
Yeah.
So what stays and what goes and why does nobody from the future remember this crazy shit that happened in 1984?
Yeah.
She spoke to the world and no one recalls who she is 20 years later. You know, yeah. So it's just little things like that maybe different movies will change, you know, whatever. But just maybe Flashpoint changes everything type deal.
Yeah.
But I felt like this was, and rightfully so, this is what DC tries to do, is a little more, this is just a fun movie, here you go. We don't care about continuity. We don't care about how it fits into other stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like Aquaman. Here you go. Here you go.
I would say Aquaman is a great comp to this.
Yeah.
Like, I loved seeing a DC movie that was, like, bright. And that, like, just visually, that was a really nice shit tonal shift.
Yeah.
And it was 100% watchable. It was fun, sure. Yeah. Like to sit and eat popcorn with. But I think
if it was on again on TV, I'd watch it.
Right.
I'm not going to seek it out again, but I'd watch it if it came on TV.
Yeah. So. But I wish it was either just Cheetah and only 2 hours, or it was a 4-part miniseries.
Sure.
Because like if you wanted to do both of those, like the story there is interesting, and you could make it interesting if you had more time to flesh it out.
Right.
If you're not going to have more time to flesh it out, then you just need to get rid of one of those characters.
Right. Like, well, they tried to make Pedro Pascal's character deeper by doing stuff with his kid, but it was brief and didn't hit, and it was very generic. It was like, oh, your daddy's going to be somebody, and then he sees him yelling and being crazy. Or, I don't know. You know, the whole, you know, daddy or son sees daddy hit mommy kind of thing, and kid gets, you know, so it's, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. It didn't make the character any deeper. Didn't make him any better.
It was just kind of...
Just made him seem
like a set
weaker in a way. Like, he seemed very...
Yeah. Beatable. Oh, you mean this guy's an asshole and a shitty dad?
Right. Like, I feel like I didn't need Wonder Woman to beat this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was just
you just give him enough time to beat himself.
Right.
He's
the bad guy you beat in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And then there's the real bad guy.
Absolutely.
Which should have been Cheetah. This was kind of...
Yeah.
This was your... What's the guy from Black Panther who steals the vibranium? Claw. I can't think of his name. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is... That's him.
Yes.
You know, he's good at this.
Yes.
But you beat him in the first act.
Yeah.
And
then you open the door for the real villain. His boss
or whoever, or he, because of him, Cheetah became who she is or whatever. And
yeah.
But I don't know.
Anyways. I'm here for that. I would have been more interested in that.
And I was never, I'm not a big Wonder Woman comics fan by any means, so I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot. But from the little I've read, Cheetah was very all over the map, depending on what Wonder Woman iteration. You know, there was no real story to her anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes she was half Cheetah, half person, just all the time. Sometimes she'd morphed, and sometimes she had this power. So anyways.
There's a lot that could be made interesting.
The one...
Just kind of fell flat.
Yeah. And you know what? Not bugged... Well, maybe bugged me the most, because it was towards the end. Wonder Woman flies. Don't hate it, but it's just... It's not needed.
Yeah.
It's not needed.
The
invisible jet thing I thought was neat.
Right.
Cool. And that was the other cool throwback, but...
I'm not going to just shit on it because, again, it was really fun. Yeah. And there were some parts that, like, I don't care how many times I saw it in the trailer. Seeing her in the fucking golden armor was dope.
Yeah. It's
like, badass. That was cool.
Yeah.
The invisible jet was cool.
Yeah.
The moment that made me laugh out loud, it's just because Chris Pine is so wonderful during the invisible jet scene. And he's, like, getting ready to take off. And he's like, the way I fly, no one will see me. And she's like, oh, you don't know about radar.
Right.
And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, no matter what, they'll see you. And Chris Pine's response, he goes, well, shit, Diana.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Like, but the delivery of that line was so great. Like, me and Libby were watching it together, and we both laughed out loud. And just, like, the way, well, shit, Diana.
That was good. I know I've kind of shit on it for the most part, but I, like I said, I enjoyed it. It was a nice Christmas day. I came down here, 10:30 or whatever after we'd done, little Christmas morning stuff. Popped it on. I did pause it at one point, went upstairs, did a little something. So it didn't catch me, but I came back 20 minutes later and finished it up. But, it is what it is. I still love that I live in a world where it's a
thing. Where it exists.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm
like,
not going to hit
it. Still fun.
Yes, absolutely.
And I am here for that. I'm like, it's definitely, it's not like fucking Justice League, which is unwatchable. Sure. It's not like Batman v Superman that makes me cringe.
Right.
It's a fun movie that I think could be better, but is still definitely fun and watchable.
Sure. And I also kind of go back to...
And that's kind of the bar for DC.
And maybe,
a watchable movie is a win for them.
And, I'm not, I hope it's not offensive, but Wonder Woman maybe shouldn't be for me in the first place. So maybe the fact that I don't love it doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm not the target audience for that per se.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? Anyways.
I see that.
You know what I watched, though, that I did like a lot? Fat Man.
Oh, I didn't watch it. Is it awesome?
I'm not going to say awesome, but it's pretty fucking fun. I mean, you could do one of those almost every year. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It's a fun ride, dude.
How's our boy Mel?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Especially, and this is, I don't know, can I tell you?
Sure.
Spoilers? Yeah, you care about spoilers? So you know the basic plot. I mean, some kid's pissed because, you know, he doesn't get what he wants.
Naughty list.
Puts a hit out on Santa Claus. The guy, I forget his name, but he's been in so much stuff. He was the hitman. Shoot, I can't think of his name. He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp. He was like the goofy dealer guy. You know who he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But he's the hitman. And the thing, when he was a kid, you know, he didn't get what he wanted. So he goes around collecting memorabilia from people, you know, because like, let's say this guy has a bat. He's selling a bat and it says made in Santa's Workshop. So it was made by, you know, whatever. And he buys it for $2,000. He's like, you know, what's your childhood dreams worth to you? You know, all that kind of crazy stuff, right? You know, deep seated stuff. So this is the hitman he hires to go after Santa. You know, the world is shitty. People are mean to each other. So Santa is not giving out a lot of toys. So we had a bad season, right? But Santa has a deal with the government that he has to, you know, give out so many toys or he doesn't get like a government subsidy to make his toys, right? Like he's, so in turn, the government hires Santa and the elves to make, like, I think it's guns or planes, you know, something like that, to make up their quota to make the money, right?
Oh, God.
Just so happens that's when the hitman attacks. You know what I mean? So the government's there. Santa's got all these guns. This guy's killing all the stooges, the government guys. And then it's just Santa and the dude. It's fucking fun, man.
That's incredible.
It's fun. It ends, the guy shoots Santa in the fucking face. So you're like, Santa's dead. No. Santa is healed by the love of children and the love that he, you know, so Santa's okay.
Whew.
Shows up in the next scene with a fucking eye patch at that kid's house with like a gun. It's great. It's Mel Gibson at his best. It's fun fucking movie.
I'm here for that.
It's like an hour 20. It's fun fucking movie, man.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
It's worth like $3 or $4 for a rental. Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man.
Might not become a Christmas classic.
But it might.
But it might. It's fun, dude. The elves, they just give them numbers because, you know, there's no need to name elves.
Right.
But the general who's in charge of when they come in loves it because they're so non-human. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they work, they eat nothing but sugar. You know, it's still sugar and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And they work 40-hour shifts, sleep for 15 minutes. You know, that kind of, it's like, how do you maintain that? He's like, well, we found it. This is better for the body. That's why I'm 200. You know, it's great. It's fun stuff. So it's fun, goofy, Christmassy shit like that. And then it's Quentin Tarantino fucking shoot him up, heads and limbs blowing off in the snow. It's great. It's great.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, there's one of those scenes where it's like the rows of firewood in the snow that are, you know, 4 feet apart. Santa's behind one. The hitman's behind, you know, just shooting at each other, you know. Tagged in the shoulder. Tagged, you know, it's great. You've had fun.
Santa in a shootout.
Yep.
Never thought I'd see it.
Fat Man. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed Fat Man a little more. Wonder Woman on Christmas.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll peep that.
It's very different, but.
What I enjoyed most on Christmas was Soul.
I still haven't gone there yet. You texted me right away. I know.
Watch that.
I wasn't ready for all the feelies. I don't know if I want to go there.
It's not.
Okay.
So it definitely had the feels.
Yeah.
But not in as upsetting of a way as Pixar has done in the past.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
And it definitely made me cry. Yeah. I'm a big old soft marshmallow.
Right.
But it was a good cry. It made me cry. Like, it was like I understood that character's journey really well.
Okay.
And I think you would also.
Okay. Now I have to watch.
Yeah. But it's not like it didn't leave me feeling sad or leave me feeling like heartbroken as a lot of Pixar movies are known to do.
Right.
It left me hopeful.
Okay. That's good.
So, and it's just, God damn, does it look good? Like, it is, it is insane to me the shit that they can do with computer animation now.
Sure.
Like, I can't, well, Big Hero 6 was probably the only other example of like, digital animation that is moving to me. Like, as far as I'm concerned, hand-drawn animation, that is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how often they go to the Pixar shit. It's the hand-drawn animation is it for me. And then, like, something like this comes out where it's like, wow.
Nice.
It is fucking gorgeous to look at. It is beautiful. And the soundtrack is killer. Everything about it is just a really, really wonderful ride.
Sweet. I'll check it out then. I mean, yeah. I didn't write it off like I wasn't going to at all, but I just didn't do it. I encourage you
to spend your evening doing it.
Do you want to know why I haven't, probably? I watched the entire season of Cobra Kai. I loved it.
It was awesome?
It was everything I wanted and more. I'm not going to lie. I teared up a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a couple times. At one point, you know, Daniel goes back to Okinawa.
Uh-huh.
A little reconnection with, you've seen Karate Kid 1 mm-hmm. and 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Sato, you know, the fight that they had to the death. So Sato's back. I forget the girlfriend's name, but she was there. She's in there. And then the girl he saved from the bell tower. Remember that scene?
Yes.
She's an adult. She's doing great. It's so much fun. It's
wow. They really go for it.
Oh my god. They give the fans everything they want, but they make it work. Like, it's not just
they earn it.
They do. It's not just straight fan service.
It's the Mandalorian.
It is.
The Mandalorian gives me everything I want in a fan servicey way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like cheap fan service because they earn the moments.
They do. Yep. I mean, it's a fun little, like, you can't stop, but like, it's not like big cliffhangers, but you're like, oh yeah. Well, next, please.
Yeah.
You're just, yes.
It's just joyful.
It is. It's so much fun. They intertwine, like I said, the Karate Kid universe, whatever you want to call it, with, you know, the past with, it's great. I mean, and just little things like, one of the last scenes is they go to, you know, Ralph Macchio, Daniel and his wife, and Johnny's there, and then Allie shows up. Mm-hmm. What's her name? She's in Adventures of Babysitting and Leaving Las Vegas with Nick Cage. Oh, come on, you know who the hell she is. I can't think of her name. You know who she is. Allie from The Karate Kid. I can't think of her name. Elizabeth Shue.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. So she shows up in a few episodes, so she's back. They didn't know they were going to see each other, but they go out to dinner at this country club, and it's the country club from the first Karate Kid. But, you know, they don't reference it or mention it, but you can pay attention. It's those little Easter eggs that are just fucking everywhere, man. But when he's in Okinawa and they're talking about Mr. Miyagi all the time, and they have, like, old letters that he wrote to, you know, his girlfriend when he was there, and that Daniel's old girlfriend's reading them, made me cry.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yeah, talk about how proud he was of Daniel and raising his new daughter and teaching her the Miyagi-Do karate stuff. Oh, it's fantastic. It's so cheesy, but it's everything he wants. I need
to get more into it.
I mean,
I've only watched like the first three episodes of season one.
Well, I was going to say, I loved The Karate Kid 1 and 2. I mean, that was it for me. That was right there, prime when I was a child.
Yeah.
Karate, 80s, you know. Peter Cetera, all that shit was going on. You know, the soundtracks were huge. Yeah.
You're the best.
Well, not only that, but Karate Kid 2 was that, what was that song? I just blanked. Anyway, we'll play it at the end. I loved everything about that. And there's just so many great Easter eggs. Like, do you remember Karate Kid 2? There's a scene where they break the ice.
I'll just say that I don't.
So there's a random scene in, like, you know, downtown Okinawa, you know, the dirty streets of Okinawa, where they're having contests and they're betting money on who can break the most sheets of ice, you know, karate style, right?
Yeah.
And they don't do that in this, but there's one scene where Daniel's at a bar waiting for somebody and they drop down two sheets of ice and you're like, oh, what's this? And then they crack one off and put it in a drink. You know what I mean? So it's
a callback to that.
So
moment.
Great stuff. Like, you know, oh, God. Stuff like that almost made me cry. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
You got me.
Mm. Damn it, 90s, you got me. You know, 80s, you got me. Fucking 80s, I'm old. Anyway, so.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Like, I watched Karate Kid as a kid because it's awesome.
Hmm?
But, like, it wasn't my generation's.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So it was like a thing that I saw and had fun with, but, like, it wasn't Three Ninjas. Three Ninjas was my shit, man.
Sure. Yep.
Where's my Three Ninjas reboot?
That's a good question.
Rocky
That's not.
Loves Emily. Rocky loves Emily.
And they, you know, they're doing, and they set it up for next season. So obviously, there's going to be another season. The bad guy is still John Kreese. Johnny and Daniel are teaming up to go against a common enemy.
Oh.
Right?
Story as old as time.
It is. It is. They're starting to realize that maybe it's just all a big misunderstanding all these years.
It's all it's ever been.
Let's throw down with this former Vietnam vet and kick his ass. Like, what, wait?
Huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're going to beat up this old guy?
I know. That's basically what it seems like sometimes.
What's going on?
There is a scene at the end where they all throw down. It's pretty good. There's good fight scenes between the younger kids.
Yeah.
Because obviously they can pull that off. There's some pretty decent fight scenes with, you know, like Ralph Macchio pulls off some good stuff. Him and Sato, you know,
yeah.
Spar, you know, it's pretty good stuff. Of course, Sato teaches him some new Miyagi-Do trick.
Because,
you know, there was always the crane technique or whatever that, you know, the big move that would save you at the end. Sato teaches Daniel the big move that helps save him at the end. It's great. So much fun.
Bring it back.
So much fun, man. I mean, I don't usually go back and watch shows. I would consider doing so. It hit me in the soft spots.
Yeah,
man.
You know what show I've been getting into that I am so angry with myself for being this late on? I mean, not super. I'm like 6 months late on it. But it's because I finally got HBO. We got HBO Max. Fucking Lovecraft Country.
I haven't watched it. I've heard good things.
Oh my God, watch it.
All right. I've heard good things.
Libby and I started watching it together, and it's only 10 episodes, and we're at the halfway point. We just finished episode 5, and my God, is it good. It's fucking weird.
Is it?
It's super weird, and it's more...
Like American Gods type weird? Like out there?
Yes, yeah. And it's more horror than I expected it to be.
Okay.
I was expecting more sci-fi. And I would still categorize it as, like, if I had to say, is this a sci-fi show or a horror show, I would still say it's a sci-fi show.
Okay.
But it's fucking scary. It's spooky, man. And, like, I still don't quite know where it's going, but in a good way.
Okay.
I feel like at this point I've been given enough. I feel like even in episode 1, they do a good job of like giving you enough to be like, you're not lost, but also very clearly letting you know some shit's going to happen and you're not going to see it coming. Okay. You know, like it kind of sets that tone of like, yeah, we'll give you what you need to keep you coming back. But I have a feeling like nothing's really going to make sense to me until the last episode. And I'm cool
with that. Nice.
Like it's nice. Fucking... Good. It's so good. It's so fucking weird, though, man. Like, I can't.
Are you, other than that, are you digging the HBO Max? Doesn't do anything. Doesn't do much for you. Yeah. See, I think there's just so much there that I
watched the Harley Quinn stuff and loved.
Great.
Like, I had so much fun watching that.
It's a fun ride.
I love that Doctor Who's on it.
Sure.
So I've watched a bunch of Doctor Who. Got a new Doctor Who episode yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They did the holiday, the festive episode.
Nice. How was it?
Awesome. So fucking good. And it was like really cool because we got no Doctor Who this year.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They had no new episodes, but this one they already had in the can.
Nice.
So we waited all year.
For Christmas one. For a holiday one. Yeah.
Yeah. It January 1st. It was 2 days ago.
Nice.
And man, is it good. I fucking love that show. But they brought back, fan favorite character, Captain Jack Harkness.
Okay.
Played by John Barrowman.
Okay.
Who was Malcolm Merlyn.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he...
Now you're speaking my language. Arrowverse.
Right. He was in... This
BBC shit you like.
Right. He was in the first and second season of like the reboot of Doctor Who. So he's like 05, 06.
Okay.
And hasn't been back since. And he came back for this episode. It was like, oh shit. Nice. And that dude is fucking ageless, man. I don't know what he does, how he takes care of himself.
He's just always like 45.
But, right.
Yeah.
Like that dude looked like he, like, we go back and watch the old Doctor Who episodes that he's in. looks like they were filmed at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, that shit was 15 years ago, bro.
It reminds me a lot of Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
Just has that same...
Very much so.
Always the same middle age, no matter if he's 20, 40, 60, he's like the same age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just, boom.
Yeah. That's a frozen in that's time. A great pull. He is very Fillion-esque.
Fillion-esque. I like it. I like it. You feel like a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick
break. All right, we'll be back. Hey, man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Check out alteredstatecomics.com right now. I will wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to also tell you, go check out the Altered State podcast, man. They come straight out of St. Louis, Brandon and John, and they are there for all your pop culture needs. They're very orally accented, is what I'm saying, ladies and dudes. So there you go, man. Altered State Comics.com. It's right there in the name.
Now we're back.
And we are officially back.
Yeah. Tried once, but I cut your mic because this is my show. All right.
That's right.
This is my life.
Yep. Yep.
The pros of being the producer, bruh.
Oh, shit. What do you feel like getting? I got a couple other random things I want to talk about. You got anything special you feel like talking about?
Did you watch the Disney Gallery Mandalorian Season 2?
I haven't. I know. You're always on me for that one.
Season 1 of it was first, magnificent.
Right.
So the Season 2 they just did, it was like Season 1 was 8 episodes, but each one was 20 minutes long on a different topic. So this time they just did one, but it's an hour and 10 minutes to cover the whole season. And it just makes me so happy to see Favreau and Filoni be Favreau and Filoni.
Sure.
I just love them. I can't say anything.
That's all you gotta say.
They've done Star Wars so right. And it just brings me all of the joy. I could watch, it was an hour long. And I could have watched 10 hours of it.
Really?
And it was just, it's just behind the scenes shit.
Sure.
You know, it's not new content, but it was some highlights for me. They had a whole section about bringing Boba Fett back, right? And had Robert Rodriguez on talking about it. It was awesome, of course. But then they were talking about Temuera Morrison, a bunch of the Boba Fett's movements are based on the fucking New Zealand Maori dances.
Okay.
That so Temuera Morrison was doing a traditional Maori dance on set, I guess to show people or whatever. And Favreau watched it and was oh, that's his fucking moves. And Favreau went to the choreographers. He was you need to make that his fighting style.
Oh, wow.
Because their whole deal was they wanted him to have an entirely unique fighting style because he's not a traditional Mandalorian.
Right.
But he's also, he is the biggest badass the galaxy has ever known.
Yep.
And he needed to show that. So
I like that.
They kept referring to him as the Barbarian. And I was fuck yeah. That's fucking metal.
That's cool.
And then they did a whole section about Ahsoka's fighting style and using the choreographers to and how they got Rosario to do that fighting style. It was just the things that they think about. It makes sense why everything's wonderful. Because there's things as a viewer that you don't notice, but they work so well that you would notice if they weren't there.
Okay.
You know, things that you don't even think about. There's one thing the episode with they introduced Bo-Katan and the Night Owls.
Okay.
And they were and they're storming that ship. And while directing it, they were talking about all right, now in this scene, we need when the three Night Owls start shooting and moving in unison, Din has to kind of be held back. And then jump up to catch up to him. Because the three of them are a well-oiled machine. But he's not. He hasn't worked with them. So he wouldn't be in sync with them storming the bridge. He would lag behind. Or he would be over-eager and jump ahead. Because he's not part of the crew.
Right.
And when you watch that scene, it works so fucking well. And I, like, that's not a thought that went through my mind in sure. watching it. But I also feel like if they were a well-oiled machine, I would have noticed it. So it's like the fact that, like, it's that attention to detail and that decision-making is like, oh, this is why you're making Star Wars sure. awesome. Yeah. Because you fucking care.
Right.
You care to on that degree.
Right.
That it matters for X, Y, and Z. And, like, there's some of the moves that Luke does when he's storming the like the bridge mm-hmm. is choreography that they pulled directly from Hayden Christensen on Grievous's ship in episode 3, like when he's cool. mowing through battle droids yeah. They used like identical choreography to some of those moves. That's where it's cool. like again cool. I don't notice that, but it's immediate. It's like I did notice that he was Vader,
right?
Like I drew it, but it's like, oh, here's these subtle cues that planted that in my head,
right?
Like, oh, because that is a move that I've seen on screen before. I have seen a Skywalker mow down droids
right.
with that specific move, and it's all that subconscious shit in your head that's right. like
it's the they callback fucking without care. Being a callback kind of thing, yeah,
right,
yeah.
It's like it's the type of thing that only a like super nerd is gonna pick up on immediately and call out,
right?
But everybody who loves the franchise gets it.
Yeah.
Like, to some degree, you know, maybe you're not ready to verbalize it, but you know.
You recognize it in your mind's eye kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you understand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is Anakin's boy. Like, right. this makes sense.
Right.
So it was just so much fun watching that degree of detail.
Sure. I bet it's cool.
And there was a really cool... like they did early, they showed John Leguizamo figuring out his character.
Yeah.
And that's just like, John Leguizamo is just fucking awesome. Yeah. And he's just so fucking good at his job that watching him do it is just kind of mind blowing. It's like Favreau gives him a couple of notes of like, you know, it's like the first time he'll do a read through and it sounds like John Leguizamo. It's like he doesn't know what the character's voice is yet.
Yeah.
And then, like, Favreau gives him a couple of notes that are, like... It is something, like, real vague, where it's like, think Don Corleone, but not Don Corleone. And like, Leguizamo's like, all right, on, I get it. And then immediately breaks into the voice that is the character.
That's
and
it's funny.
Like,
yeah.
How do you understand that fucking note so well?
Right.
And how do you change it on a dime to actually respond to it? Like, how are you that good at your job?
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. You're not going to stir me either way about John Leguizamo. He's fantastic.
Yeah, it was super fun to watch, though. Super interesting.
Nice.
So you've got some Disney Plus homework.
I do,
you've got to
sure.
watch Soul and The Gallery.
I got a couple random things, but I thought they were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, we've talked about Indiana Jones 5, of course, coming up,
uh-huh.
or production. But the rumor is now, it's going to create multiple spinoffs. Not necessarily with Harrison Ford, because they're saying...
They can't do, like, that man's like 80.
Right, so he won't necessarily be doing anything ever again. But yeah. somehow, and I don't know, I don't see
it's
it
going
because...
to expand the universe...
I don't know how you do that with because you don't have any characters left from that franchise who
yeah.
can do anything. They're all dead.
That's what I don't understand. I also don't understand why they would want to spin off of it.
I agree.
Like, I think, like, Indiana Jones, excellent franchise, and I still think there's a lot of opportunity with it. But I think at this point, you just reboot it.
I agree.
Like, I think that's the better right. choice. If you right. want to keep making indie... Right, because I don't want to see side adventures. I want to see Indiana Jones fight Nazis.
Right.
So I don't want to see him.
You don't want to see modern Indiana?
Right.
You
I don't want to yeah. see him dealing with Vietnam. I don't want right. to see him dealing with whatever. I want to see my Indiana Jones is a very specific time frame.
Sure.
Right? You get 1935 to 1945. That's fucking
That's it.
I don't want a sequel. I don't want this. I don't want to see what that character does outside of it.
Yeah.
That character delivers one thing for me, and that's a bullwhip and punching Nazis.
I'm with you.
Fucking do that.
I'm with you.
And if you want to keep making them, cool. Recast
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
I don't look at Indiana Jones as like sacred text. It would not hurt my feeling.
Not at all.
Like
right.
I think Harrison Ford absolutely owned the fucking role.
Sure.
But, like, it's James Bond, man.
Well, I was
like,
going to say, it's...
Just let it go.
Right. I know Sean Connery wasn't the first Indian, or James Bond, but people kind of always default to him as James Bond.
He was the first, wasn't he?
No, wasn't there one dude before him?
I don't think so.
I thought there was a dude right before
him. Neither was. I don't go deep on James
Bond. Me either.
Bond.
Me either. I mean, you know.
But I always thought Connery was the first.
Right, but people were appalled. Appalled?
Appalled.
Appalled. I wanted to say, yeah, appalled. But anyways, they didn't like it.
Well, wasn't...
When they announced, you know, they're going to keep doing James Bond without Sean Connery kind of stuff.
Well, didn't they recast once and then brought Connery back after it? Like, didn't Connery do two stints? I think Connery was the original.
Yeah.
And then they did the first recast and people freaked the fuck out. Possibly. So then they, like, ponied up more money to get Connery back.
That could be it. I can't remember.
And but then they started recasting.
But I think Indiana Jones is the same type of character.
Right, it's the same concept. Right. You can totally pull it off.
Right. Of course, they have moved James Bond into the present day, but it's just spy stuff, so it's basically the same thing. You can't. I just don't know right. how you do Indiana Jones present day.
Right. Well, I'm not as interested in it. Like, I think like that era of archaeology and that era of technology is the most interesting place to tell stories with that character.
Sure.
I think there is enough good modern shit that I don't need to see modern indie.
Yeah.
You know, like I can scratch that itch any number of other places.
Yeah.
But again, like what I can't get from anywhere else is a guy with a bullwhip punching Nazis. So give me that.
Well, dark web, but that's about it. <yeah.
laughs> Like that, but that's the story I want to be told.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I want him to be looking for some obscure fucking artifact,
right.
Probably religious in nature.
Somewhat, yeah.
To keep it away from the Nazis,
yep.
Because they're going to use it to take over the world and win the war.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
I don't need more than that.
Yeah.
Like, that was, to me, that's what was lacking in Crystal Skull.
Nazis?
Yeah. Like I think people, a lot of people shit on that movie. I wouldn't shit on it. I think it's fine.
Too Russian for you?
It's perfectly watchable, yeah. But it's just like, that's not my indie.
Right. Because if you were to do Indiana Jones now, like with, if you were to use Harrison Ford with his actual age, you know, what was that? Indiana Jones really took place in the 40s, right? 30s?
I think.
So you could move it to like the 70s or the 80s.
Right. But
that's about
Indiana it. Indiana Jones, yeah. I think, has to be Vietnam.
You think?
Well, it'd be that time frame.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
I just don't see him doing anything, and I just don't see that story as well. You know what I mean?
I don't either, which is why I don't think they even need to make it. I just want to see him reboot it.
Yeah.
But, like, I think...
Just because the...
You know, the last one was Cold War.
Right. Right.
I think time frame-wise, that's the global threat of that would match in the timeline.
Yeah.
So I think it...
Or you just put him in the middle of nowhere with some tribe.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter
what the year Temple is. Of Doom style.
Right.
You definitely could. I just...
I'm with you.
Recast him. Give me another guy in his mid-30s. Right.
When I heard they're going to do spinoffs, I'm like, well, they're not going to do The Adventures of Marcus Brody. They're not going to do The Adventures of...
Shia LaBeouf.
Marianne, whatever her name was. the drinking chick.
Yeah.
Sean Connery's dead.
Yeah.
I guess...
Shia LaBeouf might as well be.
There's that one guy who played the dwarf in Lord of the Rings. I can't think of his name. You know in the first one when the monkey dies?
Yes.
You know, and they're with the dates?
Yeah.
Bad dates.
Yeah.
He was the dwarf in...
Was he?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
I never drew that parallel.
Yeah, you can't tell at all.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. I didn't realize that until probably the third Lord of the Rings movie, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, they just filmed him from a different perspective, and he was a dwarf.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Who do you recast as Indy, if you're casting Indy? Who's on your short list? Like,
man.
I don't think that's a thing we can just do right now, but...
Are we recasting him as, like, a 35, 40-year-old type guy?
Yeah, recasting him in his prime.
Whew.
So you're thinking someone between 35 and 45 right now, probably.
Yeah. Got to have a little bit of ruggedness to them.
Yeah. Got to have some charm.
Yeah. It's rough because there's few.
And there was all the Chris Pratt rumors.
Yeah, for I could see him. I could see that a little bit. He's a little too.
He's too polished now. Yeah. I think he's a little too polished.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Indiana Jones doesn't have a fighting style. You know, he's just a bare knuckle type. You know, let's fight type thing.
He's a greatest generation man's man.
Totally. Totally.
Got to have a little bit of a milk bod.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why it keeps popping in my head. Well, I do because it's Christmas time, but on my Christmas playlist, I have, you know, the Vandals, Oil to the World.
Uh-huh.
And I just love that line because Haji had a sword like the guy from Indiana Jones. It's a Christmas song and it's got Indiana Jones. Anyway, man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at some actors almost because I don't know.
You know who I think could pull it off? Ryan fucking Gosling.
I could see that a little bit. I could see that. Who was...
I think he works.
What was the guy from... I'm blanking. Let's move along. What the hell's his name?
We're moving right along.
He was married to Reese Witherspoon. Ryan something or other.
Phillippe?
Yeah. For some reason, he pops in my head.
Huh. I haven't seen him in a long fucking time.
Me either.
What's he do?
I don't know. Collect checks from his ex-wife? I don't know.
Speaking of Ryan's,
yeah.
Have you seen the new Match.com commercials?
Is that with the devil?
Yes.
Yes.
That are, first of all, fantastic commercials.
I think I've just seen one, like where he's sitting there with the girl who's supposed to be like 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like three of them. It's a fucking great campaign.
Yeah.
That devil, Ryan Reynolds.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I had no idea.
We,
that commercial came on today, and Libby said it. Libby was like, you realize that's Ryan Reynolds?
I
was like, get
that.
The fuck out
he
of here.
He is fucking everywhere.
Right?
Good for him.
Ryan Reynolds as the devil in a Match.com commercial.
He's making all the
what
money.
What the fuck, dude?
I saw the...
If I'm Match.com, why am I shelling out Ryan Reynolds money just to put him in a fucking huge devil costume?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll win the advertising awards if that's the little thing. That's about it. It's like the Canadian AT&T that he's, or there's some mobile Canadian that he's like a part of. He owns part of the, you seen those commercials?
Yeah.
Just like him walking through the woods.
Well, that's how he got Rick Moranis.
Yes. They're so dry, but so fucking Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is just the best.
I can still watch Van Wilder and laugh ass off. Funny fucking movie.
Doesn't age well.
No.
But it's very funny.
Most stuff from that time frame did not.
It is pretty remarkable how funny that movie
was. That
is.
Cal Penn with the terrible...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he regrets a little bit of that, but...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's probably all he was being offered back in the day.
Yeah.
So, anyways. But no, some of that does not age well at all.
No, it really doesn't.
But I think we've talked about this before, but isn't Jesse Pinkman in that movie?
Yes.
He's the...
The raddest fucking dude alive, man.
calls what's his name, Grandpa?
Van Wilder's dad.
Yeah, but he was in...
He's in Animal House.
Animal House, yeah. I can't think of his name. Anyways. He was in tons of Lampoon stuff.
But, dude, that movie is very fucking funny.
It is.
Remember when Tara Reid's star was rising like that, too?
Remember when she was attractive?
Remember she wasn't crazy?
There was like a year or two where she was attractive.
And then she did so many drugs.
Oh, she was, I don't want to say she was great, but I thought she was pretty funny in Big Lebowski. That small little role, I thought she could do something.
I think she was great in the American Pie movies.
She was great in the first American Pie movie. And then you could kind of see some shit going down.
Looked a little haggard.
It looked a little rough.
She was really good in Scrubs.
Never watched it.
She was really, she played... Cox's sister-in-law.
Okay.
And she like had a short relationship with JD. So she did I don't know, maybe like a 4-episode arc, 5-episode arc in like season 3 or something. And then appeared probably 3 or 4 more times just throughout the series.
Yeah.
She was really good in that.
Sharknado.
Yeah.
No, not so much, but I couldn't tell you anything else she was in.
That's what I'm trying to think.
B-movie type stuff, I'm sure, but she never really did anything.
Well, there was that stretch where she was Van Wilder and American Pie.
Yeah.
Hits on hits.
The late 90s, early 2000s, she was rolling. She was kind of like the...
Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right, yeah. That's kind of when it went downhill, I think. When she got the starring role.
Josie and the Pussycats is a good fucking movie.
I never really watched it all the way through. I watched pieces here and there, but I just...
Fucking enjoy it.
I'm sure you do.
It is so... Right. It is very of its time.
Sure.
Like, it looks so 2000s MTV. It's
very much
insane.
Yeah.
But that's my MTV.
Totally.
You know, like, that movie came out when I was probably 12 years old, and that was when I fell in love with Rosario Dawson.
Sure.
And has never stopped.
Right. Shouldn't. Won't.
And it had, and, what was her name?
Evan Rachel Lee Cook. Or Evan...
Well, Evan Rachel Wood is someone, and Rachel Lee Cook is someone.
Okay, I'm sorry. I recognize both those names.
I think Rachel Lee Cook is the one that's in...
Which is...
I mixed them up.
There was one who did a, that Beatles musical.
That's Evan Rachel Wood. Okay. She was also, Westworld.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so Rachel Lee Cook did an NFG video.
Okay.
And... Was it She's All That? Was that the other one she was in that was like the teen?
That was a teeny one. What was the other one I had with Seth Green?
Can't Hardly Wait?
Can't Hardly Wait. I love that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good flick.
There were so many people in that one. What the heck's...
Seth Green's awesome.
He's great in that. He's great in that. Just that character. Talk about 90s. I mean, everything is orange and blue and yellow and it's fucking crazy. It's fantastic. And aren't... That's, what's her name? Party of Five, Curl, right? You don't know that show.
No, I don't. I know it existed.
What,
Generation Gap, bruh.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
Is that Jennifer Love Hewitt? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was some prime Jennifer Love. Whew, she was fun.
Mm.
She was fun. Anyways, moving along. That was Indiana Jones, by the way. I don't know how the fuck we ended up with Can't Hardly Wait.
6 degrees of separation.
Totally. I saw this, and I'm not going to say I was shocked. I think I like this idea. Schwarzenegger's coming back for another Kindergarten Cop.
Huh.
I would be interested in... He's on a very comedic kick lately. Like, he's doing some funnier things. Like, more cameo stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's going to star, I would assume, but I don't know. He can't just do a... cameo in Kindergarten Cop.
Right.
You telling me you wouldn't watch retired police captain comes out of retirement to do one more kindergarten thing? I mean,
I'm not saying I won't watch it.
It'd be a fun little romp, I think.
Yeah, I have no problem with it existing.
At what point does he say it's not a tumor?
Right.
I mean, because everybody's waiting for that point, right?
I didn't
know if that was a little too far ahead of you. That was a little...
Oh, no, that was my... I watched a lot of Kindergarten Cop as a kid. I just don't know, like... I understand we live in an era where everything is a reboot or a sequel, so I get it that it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
but there's some things that's just like, it seems very silly to me to make Kindergarten Cop a franchise when you could just make a funny kids movie again.
I know what you mean.
You know, that's not a hard... That's not a hard movie to write.
No, no.
Like a kid's comedy
right.
with an action star in it.
Right.
Like, so you don't...
Fish out of water type. Yeah.
Right. You don't need to get some Oscar-worthy writer to write that story.
That's right.
Like, why are you making it a sequel to it? And I don't think there's a rabid fan base that's like, I gotta see the next Kindergarten Cop.
Right.
You know? So I don't think it's like built-in money that way.
Normally, I agree with what you're saying, and I do, but I mean, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, if anybody's going to do reboots and sequels, I would anticipate it from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's the Governator.
Because at this point, what else new is he going to bring me that I'm going to be into?
Nothing.
You know,
why is he making shit?
He's got to bring some money in now that he's...
No, he doesn't. He has all of the money. And now his daughter's married to Chris Pratt.
That's true. That's true. He had 8 years where he didn't make much being the governor.
Yeah, but...
I just think now he just says yes to whatever.
Yeah, now he's just I'll make a thing.
Right,
why not?
Right.
Sounds fun.
I also heard, and I don't know if he's even involved with it, was it Amazon? No, I can't remember which streaming service, but they want to do a Terminator show.
Fuck off.
I know. I thought it was dead and gone, but it'll never...
The dishes are done, man.
They're going to use that forever, man. We're just going to keep beating it.
But nothing that's Terminator anything has been any good since T2.
Agreed.
Like, how many movies are there now? Seven, probably?
At least, yeah.
And they're all bad.
Yeah.
Except for 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then they did the Sarah Connor Chronicles on TV. Like, that shit got canceled after, like, 8 episodes.
Did it last that long? Or was it that long? Or that quick? I thought it was, like, 2 seasons.
Maybe it was 2 seasons.
I didn't watch it at all.
But, like, why are we still trying to make the Terminator happen?
I don't have an answer for you. I just report the news.
I don't fucking get it. Just... Why?
I think it's just because
it's over.
Schwarzenegger's still a name, and what the fuck else can they do with him? I think that's all it boils down to at this point. I really don't know what else it is.
But why would you want to anymore? Like, no one's liked any of it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, who's sitting back thinking, this will be the one that works?
Apparently a few people, because they've done it 9 times.
What
fans are done, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, just why? Just let it go.
At this point, if you like something new from the Terminator, it's because you haven't seen anything else previously, and you're coming into it brand new. You're like, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. But then when you see the other stuff, you're like, okay, well, that was shit.
It's because you're suffering from a traumatic brain injury. That's the situation in which you like other Terminator
movies.
That's very possible.
I just had one other thing. If you had to guess what was the biggest domestic box office movie of 2020, what would you put your money on? Domestic. So we didn't have much to go off of.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. What came out in theaters? Tenet came out.
It did.
Even though it wasn't loved and didn't make the money it should have, but it was released in theaters. Wonder Woman was released in whatever theaters were open.
It was.
Like domestic opening weekend or domestic total?
Just domestic total. Biggest domestic movie at the box office for 2020.
So I don't think it could be Wonder Woman because there just hasn't been enough time.
Sure.
It's only been a week. What was early in the year? Onward had like 2 weeks in theaters before theaters shut down.
What was that Kevin Costner one? Like where him and his wife are looking for their grandkid or something.
I don't know.
He put out like 2 movies within like a month that were both like in the top 5 for like a week or two. Like
really?
Kevin Costner. Yeah. Neither one of them are on this list, but for like...
How deep is your list?
Well, I just did
the...
Wrote the top one down, yeah.
Okay.
I just wrote the top one down. I'd give you a hint, but every hint I can think of gives it away.
Say Onward.
No. Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, shit. That did come out.
Yep.
I forgot that movie existed.
Will Smith crushed it at the... I don't know what they made, but... I just watched that. It was on, I think, HBO or maybe over a month ago, Cinemax was... Something was... I was on TV, regardless. It was a fun ride.
Yeah.
It's just like the other two.
I would expect it to be.
Yeah, it was a fun little ride.
I would totally watch that movie.
Yeah, they got a great thing back and forth together.
Yeah, man.
They're good together, so I enjoyed that.
I think they're funny, and then it was the young cast. Like, they brought in Vanessa Hudgens.
Totally.
And who was the guy? The young guy. I don't recall now. I didn't see it. I just only saw it in the trailer. But it was, like, people that I was like, yeah, I can see them fitting in this in this ensemble well.
Yep. Joey Pants was good, as always.
Now I want to pull. Now I'm just going to pull up a list of the top grossing movies of
2020. Domestic or worldwide? Because it's going to be a little different.
I'll do domestic.
Okay. Because we didn't have a big pool to choose from this year.
Okay. So this just says top grossing movies of 2020.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, here's domestic box office. This is the list I want. Okay. Not shocking.
Is Onward in there?
Yep. So you want the top 10?
Yeah, please.
So number one's Bad Boys for Life. Number two, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I very much loved.
Did, yeah.
Number three, Birds of Prey.
That's shocking.
It's not, because you got to think, those are the only three... big budget movies that came out pre-pandemic.
That's true.
You know, like, they didn't do... They're movies that obviously people didn't believe in a ton because they were coming out in February.
Right.
Like, that's not primo.
Right.
But, I mean, Still, like, Birds of Prey still did $84 million.
Oh, okay. Probably cost $200 to make.
That's probably true. That's probably accurate. Yeah, Bad Boys was $204 million. Sonic the Hedgehog was $146 million, and then nothing else crosses $100 million.
Ouch.
Yeah. So After We Collided is four.
No idea.
I have no idea what that is. And what's even crazier is it doesn't have a distributor listed.
Hmm.
So like all these, so like, you know, Bad Boys is Sony, Sonic sure. is Paramount, yeah. Birds of Prey is Warner Brothers. It's the only one on the list that doesn't even have a distributor. Now I'm going to open up and see what this...
That means it's the Weinstein Company.
Right?
They still putting stuff out? Miramax?
What is this? Huh. Amazon. It's on Amazon. It's on Netflix.
They must have released it in a theater at some point.
Yeah, so it's a Netflix movie. But, well, not only... They didn't just release it. I mean, it's the number four box office. Yeah. It made $82 million in a theater.
That's something, yeah.
Doolittle.
Okay, sure. There's
five. The Invisible Man. Call of the Wild.
Oh, that was terrible.
I didn't watch it.
The Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Ugh, it's horrible.
And then Onward was eight. But Onward only got like a week and a half in the theater.
Yeah.
Like Onward's domestic box office was $61 million, but it made $39 million its opening weekend.
Well, and you know,
so like it was legitimately only in theaters for like 10 days.
Probably everything from one and two down wouldn't even be on the list in a normal year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they wouldn't have scratched if everything else was coming out. People won't be watching these at all.
Right. Well, people. I don't think these numbers would have. I don't think these numbers would have been different. But I just think so many other movies would have had higher numbers.
Absolutely.
You know, like
right.
Ghostbusters would have. Made a shit ton of money.
Sure.
Mulan would have made a ton of money.
Yep.
Black Widow would have made a ton of money.
Right.
Dune would have made a ton of money. Right. Tenet would have made a lot more money.
Right.
Yeah, The Gentlemen. Wonder Woman 84 is 12th on the list.
Yeah. With only a week to show.
With only a week and only in half theaters being open.
Yeah.
New Mutants is in the top 15. Shit, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh yeah, where the hell was that? That should have been
44.
Really?
But I mean,
they
that
did much better. I thought that was a positive showing for them.
I think it was, but
just
it also
on demand.
It came out on demand,
that's
and
that's true. They made money, but it
was at the same time, and it was like,
oh, there's your Satan movie. Or,
that was oh yeah, that's Ryan Reynolds.
That's funny. That's funny.
But that was like dead middle of the pandemic. Yeah, that Bill and Ted made $3.5 million at the box office.
Ouch.
But I bet it made a shit ton of money
I'm sure,
on VOD.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It
got our $20.
Fuck yeah. I just watched that like a week ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I need to watch it again.
It's still
it fun,
man.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there is just... I can't believe that there's 100 movies on this list.
Oh, shit. Well, if they're putting Netflix and Amazon stuff on there, I can.
Yeah, but it's box office.
Well, they,
so, like,
it's
stuff
like
that
what
might
they
have
did,
been made by those, but...
That's what they were doing, like with The Irishman. They put it out there so then it can be in contention for awards and stuff. You got to put it in the theaters for X amount
sure,
of days.
But like those movies shouldn't be in the top 100 earners.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know,
like, that's just the world we live in right now.
Right, like that's what the pandemic like. Shit, that After We Collided, that was ranked fourth, opened in it showed in 546 theaters.
Jeez,
that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, like the theater counts on these are.
Oh, I'm sure it's.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's sad.
Let's see, like Wonder Woman opened in Wonder Woman has played on 2,000 screens. You know,
it's insane. To think
Warner
about.
Brothers tentpole movie,
right?
Aired on 2,000 screens.
Right. So they held on to it for a year.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm, that sucks. That sucks. Come on, vaccine.
Wow. I am just counting days for this vaccine.
Right. Something. Give me something.
My mom got it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Both
she's
shots, or just one shot so far?
I think just one so far. They're 21 days apart.
That's why I couldn't remember how far apart it was.
And she's probably about to get the second dose.
Good.
I think she got it like a week before Christmas, I want to say.
Okay.
In that ballpark.
Okay.
Like she's a nurse. She works at the hospital.
Okay.
So, that yeah, they started distributing there just to their employees. But yeah, she's already got the first round. I think Fox is due to get his in the next like week and a half.
Sure.
As a dentist.
Yeah.
Rumors are I'm going to be able to get like late February because they want to get kids back in school and shit.
Yep.
And I am here for it. Give me that vaccine.
That's right. Shoot me up.
Yeah.
Shoot me up.
Get that venom coursing through my veins. I want to do shit again.
I had, this is just something I just jotted down earlier because that made me feel old. I don't know. When you came in earlier today, I'm rocking out some Beastie Boys, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm doing a little YouTube rabbit hole stuff as I do. And there was all, you know, all those reaction videos. Listen to Rage Against the Machine first time, you know, that kind of stuff. And there was a bunch with, like, dudes who had never heard Beastie Boys before, right?
Uh-huh.
One, I don't know how.
How is that possible?
Was my first thing too, but
yeah. How do you get to be over 15 years of age and have not heard Beastie Boys?
But there was, I clicked on maybe four or five, you know, different people, and each, you know, made me feel fantastic because each one of them were like, they thought it was like going to be a gimmick, you know, three white boys from the fucking 80s or 90s rap, and like, this is going to be Vanilla Ice, or whatever.
Yeah.
Within like 30 seconds, everybody's like, what the fuck? Like, it's blows everybody away, and it made me feel.
As it should. Because they're awesome.
People just, and it's sad because, you know, of course I'm not going to put any stuff out anytime soon or ever again. But I don't know how people just don't know the Beastie Boys. Right. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get
it. Right?
Anyways, that was kind
of
my old
Beastie
moment.
Boys are one of those groups that's like, you either love them or you like them.
Right. Right.
Like, that's your options.
Right. And more than one guy, the reaction was like, man, who does these beats? And I'm like, the same guy who's doing Jay-Z's and everybody else's today that you love.
Yeah.
This is where he got his start. Was with Beastie Boys and fucking LL Cool J and Run DMC.
Yeah.
Do some goddamn history on Rick Rubin.
Read a fucking book.
Read a book. Ugh. Anyways. So, Beastie Boys. That's my moment.
Get off my lawn.
Goddamn right. Go listen to some Beastie Boys.
Please.
That's all I got, man. We got...
Yep. I did a lot of consuming, but I have not followed anything new in the news, really. I've been watching Lovecraft Country and fucking Soul and Wonder Woman and Disney Gallery.
I'm thinking, I can't decide if I want to give it a shot because I feel like it's going to be not a hard watch, but a long watch. Is that George Clooney movie on Netflix, like where he's like at the Arctic ice station but has to make it to some other.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Oh, it's supposed to be, I can't remember the name of it. It's supposed to be very, very good.
I mean, it's Clooney.
But it's like a apocalyptic type thing, but he just, I can't remember. I don't want to give you the exact, I'll butcher the exact plot, but, you know, George Clooney in the snow.
I'll look into
that. It seemed very, I don't know the right movie to describe it. I always go to like, I don't want to describe it as like a Planet of the Apes, but you know how like in the original Planet of the Apes, where there's really no talking for like the first 30 minutes of the movie because he's just wandering. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I get from this is a lot of maybe like what was DiCaprio's with the bear?
Descent? The Revenant.
Revenant, yeah. Kind of along that is kind of what I gather. You know, a lot of visual taking it in. I think it was originally supposed to be like an IMAX type or the... what's the science center?
Yeah, whatever that big. Yeah. OmniMax.
OmniMax, thank you. Type release, like a huge
visual
type experience.
Yeah. A real immersive
environmental experience. Yeah, exactly. You have to see the preview to see if you get anything out of it. But it's supposed to be fantastic. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, what are the things that I'm even.
I'm just waiting for all that Marvel shit.
I know. What? Two
weeks? Close. Yeah. Yeah. And then we're going to have something just constantly.
So we'll be able to start really hitting in on WandaVision.
Yeah.
Not next week, but the week following. What do you say for maybe next week to pull out some favorites of 2020? Let's praise 2020.
Okay.
The next week, let's talk about all the good things of this year. All
right. I can do that. I can try.
Yeah. I think there will be enough.
I'll try.
We can maybe fill an hour.
Yeah, right? Maybe.
Between if we work real hard.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as we don't have anything in common. Works for me. I can do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your notes together, boy. It's,
I don't know, Goldfinger album, and after that, I'm not sure what I got. That's about it.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
see you
guys.
Later, guys.